This is The Coaching Inn, a podcast from 3D Coaching. Hello and welcome to this week's Coaching Inn, where it's my great pleasure to be in the company of Val Hastings. Val and I met a very long time ago on Twitter.
Yeah.
And subsequently, I invited him to come and stay with us and do some work with me in London. Do you remember that, Val? And we met face to face for the first time at platform 9 3/4 in King's Cross Station. Since then, you've been again, haven't you, to the UK? And I visited you at home. Mm-hmm. So welcome to the Coaching Inn, because I know you like pubs.
Oh, I do. Thank you, Claire. Yeah, I wish this could be in person instead of Zoom, but.
And you wish it wasn't early in the morning, right?
Well, I'm up anyway, so it's not so bad. Yeah, no, it's good to be with you again. And it was fun meeting at that platform, 9 3/4. That was perfect, I thought.
But you know, it's such a risk, isn't it, to arrange an in-person meeting with someone you've only met on Twitter.
It is, yeah. It is, and it's, well, risks are good. Risks are fun.
This risk was fantastic.
Yeah, this was a good one, yeah.
So tell us a bit about you, Val.
Oh, let's see. Well, as your audience can gather, I am a coach, also a coach trainer. And I think, Claire, you and I have talked about this occasion. We might have been together in training years ago. Coach University, Coach Inc. years ago.
I think we were.
Yeah. I would love to go back into the rosters and just see, but it's funny how eventually we met anyway. But I've been coaching for over 21 years. I'm the founder of Coaching for Today's Leaders and Coaching for Clergy. I'm a former pastor. So that just seemed like a natural niche. People in faith-based ministry to benefit. And I love now doing a lot of corporate work, a lot of internal coach training, which is kind of the outpouring of the most recent book I wrote. So,
and we will talk to Val about his most recent book in another podcast on another day. Mm-hmm. But we're here today to talk about mastery in coaching.
Yes. And we're both master coaches.
So what's mastery, Val?
What is mastery? Oh, you got to ask me a little more.
Well, I could ask you, what does mastery have to do with platform 9 3/4?
Oh, you know, that was kind of like that special moment in Harry Potter. It's like where you could kind of instantly be transformed and kind of taken somewhere. And in some ways, you know, many ways, Claire, that's mastery, where you're having what appears to be an ordinary conversation. Then just like that, poof, it's transported.
Yeah.
It's, you've arrived someplace. I don't want to use the word magical, but it feels magical.
Yeah.
Almost. It just happens. And so, yeah, I think that's why it's kind of providential, but that's where you and I met for the first time. So, I mean, that's mastery. That's a metaphor of mastery.
Yeah. That there's a moment of transformation.
There is. Yeah. And suddenly you're where you never thought you could be, completely different place. Mm.
And of course, not every conversation that we have is like that, is it? But they are sometimes.
They are. And Claire, one of the biggest disappointments when I first became a master certified coach was that they all weren't masterful.
Yeah.
And my clients didn't all want them to be masterful.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great example of mastery right there. Yeah. Yeah. What more do you want to know, Claire?
Well, what does it look like? So our listeners are aspiring to be the best coaches they can be. So what do you think mastery looks like, sounds like?
Well, I've told our students on occasion, and this might sound a bit odd, but I think mastery is as close to arrogance as you can get without being arrogant.
Say more.
So it's... when you're in that masterful conversation, you're kind of, we call it in the States, you're kind of in the zone. You're so in the moment, so in the experience that you almost don't think it just kind of happens. And it does butt up against arrogance, but you are not arrogant. It's kind of like the professional athlete that has practiced forever that just almost without effort or without even looking, just throws the ball and it goes through.
Yeah. It's unconscious competence, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. That's a better word. Unconscious competence. It's like it's a memory in your muscles, in your coaching muscles. And that comes, you know, one of the biggest myths is that if I have 2,500 hours, I can apply for my master credential. And that's a myth. Mm. It really is. Yes, you need to coach thousands of hours, but it's informed feedback over those thousands of hours. And it's not simply self-reported feedback.
Totally.
Yeah.
I'm so with you.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've noticed lately, which has made me a bit frustrated, I guess, is that you can hear a coaching session, because I do a lot of mentoring of aspiring MCCs and people earlier on in their journey, but you can hear a session which is technically pretty perfect and it's not mastery.
Yeah.
Because actually I think the thing that defines mastery is the impact that it has on the thinker's thinking and the timing and the tone and all those underneath things. The other thing that really makes a difference to the quality of the conversation that gets you that platform 9 3/4 magical moment.
Yeah.
That doesn't look as though it came from anywhere, does it? You just ask a really normal question and suddenly boom.
And I love that you use that word normal, because it really in some ways it is just a normal conversation, but it's all that other stuff underneath that kind of opens that normal up.
More about that. It's that stuff underneath that opens that normal up.
Well, it's being incredibly present in the moment, that you're picking up on nuances. You're not only picking up on your client, but you're also conveying nuances, you know, that I'm with you. I'm hearing, you know, you kind of connect in a kind of a unique way in that moment. And it's not in the right question. It's not this profound statement. It is in the ordinary, that it just happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you know that I'm one of the assessors for the ICF.
Yeah.
And you're right. You can listen to a tape that's been submitted for mastery, and technically it's right, but it's not masterful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how you assess for that using a rating scale. I'm not quite sure how you assess for that objectively, except that you know it.
Yeah.
You just know it. I mean, your client knows it. You know it.
And it's about partnership, isn't it? It's about the bit in between.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And how you pass over from one to the other and how you pass back.
It absolutely is. For me, you know, when you apply for your MCC credential, you have to submit several recordings. The hardest part was, you're talking about that partnership, identifying the right person to coach in that moment for that to happen.
Yeah.
That was the hardest. That took me about 18 months to just get the right people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because I think that sometimes people who are very new to coaching demonstrate mastery.
Mm.
And sometimes it comes from fear when they don't say something because they don't know what to say, but it doesn't feel as though they don't know what to say. And in the silence, that that magical moment of breaking through comes in.
Yeah, that does happen. That is, yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like an intuitive thing. They just kind of know it. And unfortunately, sometimes later on, as they learn more, that intuitiveness or that kind of specialness kind of gets covered over with all the learning.
Yeah.
And we have to kind of strip that back a little bit.
Yeah. Gets covered over with all the learning. I've just had a conversation with one of our customers who's just moved to doing training with us from doing much more information-based coaching learning. And we were just talking about that. Because actually, in the end, it's a human-to-human conversation rather than a human who's got a great big encyclopedia.
Yeah, yeah, and you and I have talked about this previously. If I were to recreate a coach training program from scratch, there would be no scripted content, almost no PowerPoint. It would just be, let's coach.
Yeah.
Now let's talk. What showed up? And just draw it out of that.
That's what our training does look like.
Yeah, there you go. Well, then you're there. That's where we're headed toward. Because I think that's where the true learning and mastery shows up. Because then you don't have to uncover all that other, and not that there's anything wrong with content, but I think when you're moving toward that masterful conversation, it gets covered up.
Yeah, and if you learn to dance, you have to dance on the dance floor.
Yes.
And you can read a lot of books about dancing. I could read a lot of books about dancing, but that wouldn't make me a dancer.
Yeah, that's a great analogy there.
I'd never thought of that before.
No, that's great. Kat, make sure this is being recorded. That's perfect. But no, that's absolutely right, isn't it? No one in their right mind would think that after they'd read books or even sat in a class and were lectured on dancing, that they'd be a master at it.
Yeah.
Or that they could even dance.
Yeah. And we've got a dance show, Strictly Come Dancing, on in the UK at the moment. I think you have it Dancing with the Stars, don't you, in the States?
Yeah.
You know, they hurt themselves on that journey because they have to put in hours and hours and hours of practice.
Yes, you do. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just when you think you've done enough, do it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do it again with somebody else, someone completely different. Change it up. I think that, boy, I think for me, that's my biggest takeaway so far, that mastery is the dance that you don't learn sitting in the classroom or reading a book.
Yeah. Yeah, master is the dance you don't learn in the classroom. I love that. We co-created that, you and me, just
there
then.
All right. Sounds good.
But that's co-creation, isn't it? It's actually about not knowing what you're going to do. Because I think I think master is also about not being in control and not being out of control.
Yeah, it is. It's that. Either or, both and, isn't it? Both of those, yeah. Yes. Yeah, because, and I love your language that we create the container, we hold the container.
Yeah.
That has to be there. That's important. But what happens within that container? We don't need to control that. Just set the boundaries.
And we don't have to do everything that looks as though it ought to be in the conversation. That's another thing I think that I notice a lot. You know, just because it looks as though there's five things that need addressing here, addressing one is probably going to unlock the other four. So we haven't got to feel that we've got to do it all. I think mastery is about not working so hard.
Yes. Yeah, there's an ease to it.
Or
appears to be an ease to it. I mean, we're working hard. I mean, we've worked hard, but there's an ease to it. Yeah. It kind of goes back to that platform 9 3/4. I mean, not everyone could go through that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is an ease to it. There is a way to it. And there was a timing to it.
And there's courage, isn't there, to push your luggage trolley. For those of you who haven't read Harry Potter, worth looking at a clip on YouTube. But there's a courage in Harry Potter where they push the trolley towards the wall and kind of believe it's going to open up.
Yes. Yeah. So what role does belief play in mastery, Claire?
What do you think, Val?
I never thought about that before, but it is a component of it.
I think you've got to believe, that's so interesting, isn't it? I think you've got to believe that the other person is robust enough to deal with their own stuff. Mm. And I think it goes back to the trusting the process more than we trust ourselves. Because I think on that coaching journey, most people go through a phase where they think, actually, I did that. Therefore, I need to do this because it's my responsibility. And I think mastery says, we believe the process makes this work. And if we co-create a great process, then its transformation is more likely to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thinking out loud here. I wonder if masterful coaching happens not when it's I, but we.
Yeah.
And you know, using your thought about, you know, the dance, I believe my partner has this.
Yeah.
They've got it. I believe I have it. Therefore, let's dance.
Therefore, I believe we have it.
Yeah, we have it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got this. You've got this. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Rather than the stance or the attitude that says, I've got this. And if I think I've got this, then I'm going to be in control. And if I'm in control, it's too tight.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, especially if we view it as co-creative, mutual. Mm. It really isn't a stance.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good.
And that's why it doesn't look like mastery if together we can't tolerate that level of discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's about range, isn't it? So master coaches mm-hmm. have got a bigger range, mm-hmm. but we may coach at various different places in that range.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the journey to mastery is about expanding your range. I'm just thinking it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great point. It is really expanding. You know, this is the whole gamut that I coach, that we can show up and really, you know, sometimes we think that we look at the coaching credentials, whether it's ICF or other organizations, and we see them as, well, the first one is lesser than the second one. What if we removed that judgment and just saw this as all within here is good, is helpful when it meets the particular call of the moment. So really, you're right. It is expanding the range versus moving chronologically.
Yeah.
Or what's the word? Boy, the older I get, words escape me, Claire.
Sequentially.
Sequentially or linear. Yeah. It's not sequential.
No.
It isn't.
No. So looking back at your journey of 21 plus years, Val.
Yeah.
What were the key moments for you where you expanded your range?
Well, I think the first was my very first class at Coach Inc. They brought in a master coach who coached. That was the start of the class.
Wow.
And I sat there, my mouth was open, and I thought, that's what I want to be able to do. That's it. And so it's, you know, you were talking about how often newer coaches, you can see it in them. I didn't demonstrate mastery back then, but I knew that's what I wanted. So I think that was a defining moment right there, that's what was demonstrated for me. This is what can be. You know, I think some other moments were, Claire, 10 hours is the requirement. Mentor coaching, I did 8 years of mentor coaching three times a month. And I don't know if it is that I just needed so much extra help in remedial work, or if that I just really wanted to master this.
That is a lot. I have to
it
say.
Is, you know, and I don't regret it for a moment. It was great, you know, and I still work with a coach and a mentor coach at time, but it's like, I think that was important. I just got regular informed feedback.
Yeah.
And Claire, after those 8 years, I was all set to submit my application, and my mentor coach said, let's get another master coach to review. And I thought, sure, well, you know, I've done this 8 years. I've got this. We're ready to go. She ripped me to shreds. And I thought, oh my word, I'm nowhere near ready. And he said, oh, let's just pause for a moment. What can we learn?
Yeah.
And actually, what came out of that was really, really good. I may have still gotten my MCC with or without that, but it was just enough extra that just really the icing on the cake. So that was a pivot moment.
That's amazing. And in those days, getting recordings was more complicated, wasn't it? Because it was a tape recorder and various telephone things. Whereas now getting recordings is super easy.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I mean, I say to people, you can't progress as a coach unless you're listening to recordings and watching the impact of what you do on the person who's thinking.
Yes. Yes. That's as important. When you go back to listen to the recording, don't just listen to yourself. Notice the impact. And with Zoom and different things like this, we really can capture that.
And I would say, if you're going to choose to do that work for 8 years, maybe listen to them thinking for the first 4 years.
Yeah.
Maybe not everybody's going to take 8.5 years.
I know.
I hope you have a record there, a world record.
I don't know. It's not one I need to have a trophy for.
So there's something about aspiration and watching the impact of a master coach coaching.
Yes, absolutely. And
there's something about enough mental coaching.
Knowing when it's enough.
What else has been formative for you?
Oh, what else? I mean, I spend a lot of time with coaches in general, but I also like you and I regularly, we just meet for conversation.
We do.
And I have a number of people, whether or not they have the MCC credential, but they're masterful. And just having those conversations, most of the time with no set agenda, but just conversing, I think that's informative. That's been instrumental for me before mastery as well as after.
That's interesting, because it makes meaning of my first coach said to me that it must have been responding to something I said to her. But she said, move with people who are more experienced than you. Don't be the most experienced person in the room.
Yes.
Because that skews your perception of yourself.
Yeah. And that's so easy to happen once you get that MCC next to your name.
That's why I started a podcast.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. You know, the other thing that I think has been that I've really benefited from, most masterful coaches I know at one point end up finding something else that they want to like strive at, almost to have mastery over there. And there's something about a parallel pursuit of mastery and something else that spills over. And I can't really rationally, logically explain it, but it just does. One of my pursuits now is I'm in the gym regularly, and there's something about just being in there, developing mental toughness more so than physical toughness, that it does spill over.
Yeah, and interesting. You know, I'm doing my long distance walking.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. I think most masterful coaches are in another parallel pursuit.
And I wonder whether that might also be something about don't make coaching be your only thing.
Mm.
And that kind of connects to that question, doesn't it, about can a full-time coach full-time? Because we need a bit of a life. Well, we need a life, well, not even a bit of a life.
Yeah, yeah, we do. Absolutely, we do, yeah. And I think that's probably where we get that then.
And yeah, I think we need a learning mindset, which doesn't necessarily mean learning more and more and more about coaching, although that might be true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, years ago, I defined full-time coaching for me with a certain number of clients, much less now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember when we learned back in the day, the assumption was that you would coach people three times a month for 45 minutes. And some of the students we learnt with were coaching on the hour, every day, weren't they?
No, you need that space in between.
Yeah.
A lot more space.
Yeah. 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 So anything else that you've noticed on your journey, Val?
Oh, I'm sure there is. It's not coming to my mind. I'm sure it is.
The big shift for me was when I started delivering coach training and started watching coaches coaching and thinkers thinking. And a huge amount of my learning about timing and tone and noticing transformation happen has come from being the extra person in a small group where I've had the privilege of watching the whole thing play out. And there's been enormous learning. And in fact, the customer I was speaking to just before this recording, we've got four of their graduates from their last program coming along to help me deliver the training. Cohort two, they're coming along. And that's because when they move chairs and they sit in the observer position, they're going to learn more than they learned when they were sitting in the learner position. Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being a trainer has really benefited me quite a bit. Pre-MCC and afterwards as well. Yeah.
I also have to say, having to do all those live coaching demos in training courses has also really increased my courage. And that also is part of mastery, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, that's skinny branch coaching.
That's your great question. I love you. Tell us about your skinny branch, because I think that's very uniquely yours.
Skinny branch coaching? Well, yeah. We want to go out on the skinny branch when we coach. That's what we want to do. That's where the new life is. That's where the new growth is. That's also where the greatest risk of snapping off and failing is. But that's where the most and best growth is.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we encourage our students to go out in the skinny branch. And actually, I mean, we need a different word besides failure, because you don't fail when it snaps. That's actually, this is all good. I mean, growth comes back. And sometimes it's stronger where it's been broken.
So, yeah.
And
there's no such thing as a perfect conversation. Every coach makes mistakes, don't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
All the time.
Yes.
It's just what you do with it, and whether you just drop it and move on, or whether you make a thing about it.
Yeah. And I mean, that's part of mastery, is just, it's okay. You know, and that's, it's just all part of the flow rather than these sharp turns. And we've got to make a big deal of it. Just, it's okay. Hold it all lightly. Keep going.
Yeah. So we're nearly at time, Val. My goodness, time flies. So my question to you is, if you were giving a nugget of wisdom to somebody who was on the journey and wanted to become to master this, whether that's a credential journey or a just become really really able to do this, what would be your number one top tip?
Do you even have to ask me? 8 years of mentor coaching, Claire.
With you, right? That's a great business model.
My advice, I mean, it would be that informed feedback, just from lots of different sources. And yeah, you don't need to do 8 years of mentor coaching, but be the continuous learner.
Yeah.
You know, mastery is not a destination that you arrive at. It's just keep, you know, getting that informed feedback. And what we call that unconscious, conscious, that muscle memory, just keep at that. I think that's the biggest thing.
But what you're describing there is try out and get feedback on your art rather than accumulating knowledge.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. It's getting feedback on your art. Yeah. And I love that you use that word art, because that's on the road to mastery. This is art. This is not science.
Yeah.
This is art.
Yeah, because science is more of a technique that you just go through.
Yeah, and you and I have used the language of apprenticeship a couple of times too in the past. And that's what, when you're in an apprenticeship, you pound, you shape, you do whatever, and then you get feedback on that.
Yeah.
And then you go at it again.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean feedback from the people we coach necessarily, because they're going to go, if they like it, they're going to go, I love that. But that doesn't mean it was art.
Yeah, just because your client says, oh, great question, doesn't mean it was a great question.
Yeah. It might mean that you just let them off the skinny branch and popped them back onto the security of the trunk.
Yes. Well said. Wow.
Well, so, Val, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Oh, well, you can Google me for sure. But, I mean, Coaching for Today's Leaders is probably the best place. Val at
Coaching for Today's Leaders.
And it's a number four instead of F-O-U-R, it's the number four.
I'll pop that in the program notes.
Hey, great. Yeah, that's probably the easiest way. So yeah, Claire, as always, it's great to have a conversation.
And you, and we'll be having another one soon about coaching on the inside.
Hey, absolutely. Look forward to that, Claire. Thank
you. Fantastic. Thanks for coming, Val. Bye-bye, everybody.
Absolutely. Bye. Take care. Bye.
If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, please share the podcast with a friend who might also be interested. And if you'd like to become one of our regulars at the Coaching Inn, you can subscribe at Podbean or on iTunes. We look forward to meeting you on the next podcast.
You've been listening to The Coaching Inn. Find out more about us at www.3dcoaching.com.